Hi all, and welcome to another episode of the Orlando Addict Podcast. Today I have a guest with me. He's also from the After Dark Podcast Network. He is Simon from the Simon Says Podcast. We're going to be talking today specifically about car hires, where to get them from, the sort of prices and type of cars you can get. Also, we're going to talk about his love for Orlando and what he likes doing while he's out there. Plus, the dude is a bit of a guru on Halloween Horror Nights, so it'd be stupid not to ask him questions. Also, try and get you some tips on how to make the nights better for you. So sit back and enjoy the episode. All you Orlando addicts.
Also, there may be swearing in this episode, so this may not be for young ears.
Hello, Simon, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey, buddy. How are you doing?
All good, and you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad at all.
And if people are just wondering, this is Simon from the Simon Says Podcast, a fellow podcaster from the After Dark Podcast Network.
Yep.
So, Simon, you're like me. You're Orlando mad, or a Orlando addict, we could say. How many times have you been?
I've been 9 times now. Eight times. My 9th trip's coming up this year.
Same as me as well. What's the first year you went, though?
2008.
That was 2 years before me, so I must have gone silly for a period.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit a quick, funny story. It's the main reason why we went is we 2 years previous, my partner Julie booked a holiday, paid too much for it. So I said, I'm doing the holidays from now on. So the year after, I got to Egypt, and then the year after that, I got to Florida for the same price we paid to go to Malta in 2006, I think. Yeah. So that's what made us go to Florida.
It's actually funny you say that. My mate, he's never been to Orlando before. We're going next year for 8 nights, staying at the Rosen Inn on International Drive. We DIY'd it. Flights, £300 BA. Hotel, I think it was £190 each, you know. Yeah. I think, so just under £500 for 8 nights in Orlando. I mean, I've tried Tenerife, and that's like over £800 for the same period.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the price we paid just under £1,200 for 14 nights the first time.
I think it would have been around that price if we stayed for 14, but he can't because of his security job.
Yeah.
So, anyway, as everyone knows, you're Orlando mad like me, as I said. Yes. And you've got things that I don't do, though. Like, for example, let's say car hires.
Yes, I do hire a car every time I'm there.
So just if you'd like to talk through it for everyone, like read your notes, explain about car hiring, who's possibly the best people to use, what sort of prices, what type of cars you can get out there. Because as I say, I'm an Uber and Lyft person. Because on holiday, I like to drink. So it's just easier for me that way. But I understand when people want to get around a lot easier. It is easier just to have a car of your choice to go anywhere you want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's entirely up to the person. It depends on the circumstances you're in. But there's mainly three ways of hiring a car. One is you get it with the package that you've already booked. Two, you can either get it at the airport or your hotel you're staying at, because most hotels in Orlando have a car hire section in the lobby somewhere. And the third option is you do it yourself. You book it, you buy it, and you rent it all separate. So
that's interesting. So which one would you say is the best one for you? And would you say for others? First time is, I'm guessing...
First time is do it with a package, because you know you're going to have the car there. The only problem is when you book it with a package, because this is what I'll be going into in a minute, there's a lot of different variations of what you get when you actually book your car hire with a package, because you've got options on top of what you, because if you book a package, it's free. It's plain and simple. Usually the car hire is free. Well, it used to be, but some bit of digging I've done into, some companies now charge, whereas before you used to get free car hire, which for some people you think, yes, that's fantastic. And here's the big, and I mean the big, but you've got no insurance and you get the basic car, which usually the basic car, if you do it in European terms, is the same size as the day unit is. Yeah. So straight away, you're into upgrade options. And the prices vary dramatically depending on which company your company's used, because these places like Dollar, Six, Alimore, there's Avis, Budget. There's so many different companies in Florida when you get there. It's hard to choose. But if you book with your company, the company I've already set it up and picked it for you. So that's where you go to. You don't have to worry about anything of finding which one is yours. You understand what I mean? It's a bit confusing.
I understand. So basically, it's just like your hotels chose, your flights chose.
So if you book, I've got a few examples. If you book with Virgin, they used to use Dollar. They now use Alimore. And their prices are free. The car hire is completely free. It's included in your package. They actually charge you for a transfer, which doesn't make sense to me, but for some people it does. So I'll just give you a run through of some prices if you want.
That's fine, yeah, go for it.
Because if you've got, I personally always get a Ford Mustang convertible. I'm on holiday. I like to splash out a little bit.
And so be the American car.
Yeah. So what I've done it just for a week. I've done it for this September from the 20th to the 27th to give the same price for each company as it comes through. So if you were booking it with a package with Virgin and you wanted that car, it will cost you another £163 on top of your holiday for the week. If you did it with TUI, I'm just going to go off the three main companies that we have in the UK who do it. The upgrade is £124.56 for the Ford Mustang. And them two do not come with insurance. You have to purchase insurance separate.
And where would you get the insurance from?
Well, you can book the insurance with them, with like Virgin or TUI. Right. They can add it into your package for you. So it's still set as your full price of what the actual whole package is, which does bump the price up because your insurance is actually dearer than the car. The insurance goes up if you get it with Virgin for not the basic but the gold package is £205, and for the ultimate package, which is £263. With TUI, it doesn't give you a price; it just adds it in, and altogether it's £353. So if you add the other two for Virgin and TUI, there's a £7 price difference. It's round about £360 for your insurance and the car. Okay.
It's not too bad. It's that 14 nights, correct?
No, seven. Seven. Right. Yeah. Because right. Obviously the car hire goes by day. So the longer you have it, the day it'll be.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So if you did it with the other company, which everyone seems to be using at the moment, is Thomas Cook, they don't give you the option of not buying the insurance. You have to buy the insurance with them when you hire the car. And it goes a little bit steeper. It goes up to £440 for the week.
Bloody hell.
Because you've got no option at all to take it off. So that is the simplest way to sort out your car hire, if you're ever going to go. Book it with your company and add it into your package. So it's already paid for. You don't have to worry about anything. You turn up, you hand them over the car voucher. They give you the keys to the car. Oh, let me just go backtrack a little bit. You must be 25.
Yeah, I was going to wonder this because I know the drinking age is 21 over there.
Yeah, some companies do allow under 25 drivers, but there's a $19 a day charge for having an under 25 driver.
Over the top cover, right, I get it.
So they don't like anyone under 25, and you must have a driving license for at least 3 years.
At least 3 years, yeah. Well, that's good. So if you're like a late driver who's only got life. Yeah.
You could possibly get away with it, but if you're coming from the UK, you've got to get that code from the DVLA. They never use it, but always take it with you. You just go to the DVLA website, and it gives you you do it two or three days before you go, and they can just put that code in to check that you've got a clean license and how long you've had your license, because they don't check it that often. But if they do and you haven't got that code, you've got to faff about trying to get that code while you're over there.
It's not worth it.
So that's the easiest way to get your car hire. The other options are the hotel and the airport, like I said, but I can't give you any prices on them, guys, because they change. They change every day. And usually that's the dearest option.
Yes, I do know, though, with hotels like Rose and Inn, just for a little tip for people on International Drive, I know definitely the Rose and Inn International, if you hire a car there as well, and I think if you get it from anywhere else, actually, they actually let you park your cars for free. So you don't have an extra charge on top for that.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, because that's another thing you need to bring in. If you're staying at the Disney parks or the Universal parks, they charge for parking. So you've got to budget that into your budget as well.
And obviously, I'm not sure about the pricing on that. It varies.
It varies between moderate value and it's anything from four. It's actually Disney's going up this week. They've gone from ranges from $15 to $25 a night.
Oh, I've never known Disney to put their prices up on anything.
Oh, I don't know. I know. And I think Universal is 14 to 26.
And I'm sure Universal, if you're staying quite longer, they put it down if you're over a certain amount of days to $11. I've seen it in Facebook groups, people saying it, but I'm not sure that works every time. I think it depends on the person that you're talking to.
Yeah, because it all depends on which hotel you're staying in as well, really. Because, I think some are owned by Laws and then Universal owned the others, so it's all a bit confusing. But maybe, what were we up to? Oh, right. This is the, if you want to do your car hire, this is, to me, is the best way to do it, is do it yourself. Where you either book it direct with the companies yourself, or you use a travel company like Travel Supermarket or something like that. Because these are where your bargains are.
Oh, you mean like the Meerkat people?
Yeah.
That's how I do my insurance for holidays. I go through them.
Yeah, I've just pre-set up into the thing now. Obviously, the prices change daily. So the earlier you book it, sometimes you can get a bargain, some you don't, because they go off the American exchange rate. These prices are in English. Like I said, I've just done the same again. A week, Ford Mustang from the 20th September to the 27th. They range in price from £233 for the week to £1,295. Don't know where that £1,295 come from for one
that
week.
That one better have bloody gold-plated rims in.
Yeah, well, the thing is with some of these companies, especially in MCO, which is Orlando International Airport, some companies are on-site, some are off-site. So double check when you look, because usually the ones that are off-site are a little bit cheaper, but they do offer a free transfer from Departures A, I think. If anyone goes to MCO, you know how big it can be. But you head down to Departures, head down to the bottom where all the car hire places are, and outside the thing there's like the bus stops where buses and minibuses just pull up. You jump in and they take you to where your car is, and then you sort out all the information there.
Do they actually, you know, when you get the car, do they actually let you, could you upgrade while you're there as well?
Yes, you can upgrade while you're there, where that is where you can save a bit more money as well, because if you anything like a lot of people, you can haggle. They're Americans, they like to haggle. So if you, face-to-face, if you've only booked a compact car, is what they do, and then they go and say to you, well, we can have this upgrade for X and X amount. Well, how about upgrading it to this one for such amount? You know, it is doable. You can haggle. It's quite easy. I've done it a couple of times. I think the first year I went, I got the basic car, like I said. And when I got there, I got upgraded to a Chrysler 300, which was like the Bentley Continental ripoff, as they called it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I got that for about $80 for the 2 weeks.
See, that's not a bad upgrade price, is it?
No. So, excuse me a second. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I got it for $80 for the 2 weeks, and that was a big car. I'm used to driving a little Corsa and then jumping into that thing. It was a bit big.
Oh, yeah.
If you book direct with the companies, before you go, your insurance is usually included. So that price you see is your insurance as well.
Is that the standard insurance, though?
It's not the standard insurance is you've got a visa, it's a liability waiver. People get these confused. It's very important to remember. If it's got liability waiver, that means that the vehicle you hit is covered. or if they hit you and going through your insurance, their vehicle is covered. Yours isn't. So you're liable for the damage to the vehicle you're driving. So that's where you must, whatever insurance you get, make sure you see the letters CDW, which is the collision damage waiver. Make sure that's included, and then your vehicle is your vehicle is covered. Because that's where people get to make the mistake, when, especially when they go to any foreign country, really. The collision damage waiver needs to be on your insurance, because that covers the vehicle you're driving.
See, that's a very good tip, that one is.
Yeah, because if you, even if it's not your fault, you're still liable for the damage to the vehicle you're driving. So if you haven't got the collision damage waiver, you will be liable for the repairs on that car. And if you know anything about insurance jobs or in people working in insurance, they use brand new parts. So a little dink in a door can end up costing you $2,000 for a brand new door. And you don't want that. So that's the biggest tip out of all. Make sure any insurance you get is you do get your collision damage waiver included.
That's really good.
So there's only really one more tip I can give. If you are going, I keep going backtracking like I do on my own podcast. it's mainly about when you do it with a package and it doesn't include insurance. You can purchase your own insurance yourself. You don't have to buy it with the company. You can buy, I gave you, like I said, the price was for the same trip we did before, £63.88, because this is in pounds, because you're buying it over here, obviously.
Yep.
For that week's trip, which is cracking value, really. £64 for a week insurance, especially on a Ford Mustang, is absolutely fantastic. But it's any vehicle. So it doesn't matter which car you get, it will cover any vehicle. But what I personally do is I get the worldwide insurance. Little plug for the company, they do. It's iCare Car Insurance. I use them every year, whenever I've gone. And it's £110 for a year's insurance. Worldwide,
we better quickly do a nick here and say there are other insurance companies out there.
Yes, they are. But yeah, well, to be honest, I think they all mix in with that one anyway. They all subsidiaries of them all. But it's £110, and it covers you for up to 90 days per trip.
And that's worldwide. What is absolutely?
It's worldwide. It is. I use it when I go to Europe. I use it when I go to Florida, and it's, as long as you don't do consecutive for more than 90 days, your insurance is valid for a whole 12 months.
Okay, so have you ever hired, like, you've stayed, have you stayed on iDrive before?
Yes, I have stayed in...
Have you ever just on iDrive gone to one of the buildings there to pick up a car or choose a car?
No, I've never done it. I've always pre-booked it before with my package, or I've... pre-purchased it myself. That's where the tip of pre-booking it before is cheaper. I have never inquired. I could do this time, actually, when I get to the Aventura. I could try and get some figures for you when I get there, but no, I've never actually booked it at the hotel before. I always pre-book it, because with usually it's just me and the missus who go. So the transfers, I understand, but I like to travel all over. I like to go to different places other than just Disney and Disney and Universal.
You know? Yeah, I know what you mean by that. That's why every holiday I try and fit in like a trip down to Clearwater Beach for a day.
Well, I don't do many beaches, but I do like to go over to Kennedy Space Center, especially.
See, that's where I'm off. I went to it a couple of years ago, and I found it boring, but I'm not sure it was because it was a very cloudy day. I was hungover from the night before. Me and my brother had gone out to watch WrestleMania. So I was drinking with loads of wrestling fans. So we went the next day. I hardly got any sleep. So I was just walking around.
Yeah.
I think I should give it another go, another time in the future.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a space geek. So I've got where I am at the moment, I'm staring at a star map that my auntie bought me for buying me a star for my birthday. So.
Ooh. You got your own star. Look at you.
Yeah. It's got the coordinates of where it is. So, I think it only lasts like 5 years. It's just like one of them gimmick things where you say you name a star and it's yours for like 5 years. But yeah.
So, is there anything else you've got on the car hires?
Not really. Just whatever it is, with even with any holiday when you go to Florida, just do your research. That's all I can say. Just do your research. Find out what suits you the best, and just go for it. If you don't want a car hire, you just want transfers, do that. But car hire for me is what I like to have my independence. I don't like to be tied down. I understand that you've got to pay for parking if you go to Disney and Universal and places like that, but for what I save with the car hire, which obviously I go to the highest price and then whittle it down to see what I'm actually paying, that extra money then goes towards the parking. Or you do what I do what everyone else does, and just get yourself an annual pass for Universal and it's free. Depending on which pass you get.
I'm the opposite. I'm sneaky. I do Lyft and Uber, and there's a few little tips for people here. Uber, if you get Groupon out there online, you know, on your phone, a lot of time Uber do deals for $20 Uber gift cards for $10.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, buy them. Lyft do a load of promotions. I only had a nose Friday, and Lyft, they've got this pricing going on there right now for me for half price. So a trip to Universal from the Rosalind, because I was having a nose, was $2.32.
Wow. Because I went when Uber, last time I used Uber last year for when we was at Disney, because where we stayed, it's cheaper to use Uber than parking.
Do you all know, before you go any further, that Lyft actually have a deal with Disney, so they're actually cheaper than Uber on site?
Yeah, yeah. I went when Uber and Lyft weren't around. It was Mia's taxis. They were the only ones you could get.
That's what I stopped with. I hated it.
When we came back we went to Halloween Horror Nights one night, I think it was in 2012, and I had a little bit too much to drink, so I left the vehicle at the parking garage, which they agreed to leave it till the night before, the day after. And I got Mia's taxi from Universal to the Rosalind, because that's where I have stayed there, near the big McDonald's, and I think it was about $17.
Wow, that must be, I'm going to guess, late at night as well then.
It was about 1:30, 2:00 in the morning, and I thought $17, and I could walk.
Because it's only, people say it's a long walk. I can do that walk in 15 minutes.
Yeah, it is a long walk, especially if you've been on your feet all day anyway. Because if you're at Halloween Horror Nights, it's definitely a long walk.
I have noticed as well with Uber and Lyft, peak times the price doubles. So if you can hang around an extra half hour, price is going back down.
Yeah. So, but that's one reason why I mainly get a car now, because if that was the price roughly for going all over everywhere, it would have cost me an absolute fortune. It would have cost me what it cost me for the car hire, really. So
yeah, I can't remember if Mears, but are they a set price or are they a meter?
They're a meter.
Yeah, so if you get caught in traffic as well.
Yeah, but there wasn't any traffic. That's the thing. It was just, I think, obviously.
He's taken advantage of a drunk, I think.
Yeah, I think it is, because obviously we'd only been there, I think that was the third time we'd been there, so we were getting used to where we were going, but probably just got ripped off a little bit, but never mind. That's a learning experience.
In all fairness, Uber drivers and Lyft drivers, there's some bad eggs out there who try and do that as well, try and alternate the route. Another hint for anybody, if they do, it's on the app, the route, just get in touch, keep on moaning them if they say no at first. It will refund your money.
Yes, they will. I had that last year. I had a lady say she picked me up, drove 400 metres and dropped me off, and they charged me $6.50.
Yeah, dream on. Hope she didn't get a tip.
No, she didn't get a tip. She got a zero rate. Oh, is it one you can do? Did gave her a one rating, got me money back, and then I got given a one rating from her, even though she never picked me up. So.
Yeah, I've had that before the new hotel's built was getting built. We was at Wet n Wild. I can't remember where we were going. It was me and my brother. I asked for an Uber. We were standing outside Wet n Wild. It never showed up. She said she picked us up.
Yeah.
So I contact. And at first they didn't agree with me. All of a sudden I went onto the internet, got their address for where they are in Orlando. I said, I'll be coming down to the office to talk to management. Next thing I knew I had a £5 voucher and my money back.
Yeah. Yeah. So top tip, if you anything happens, just complain. Complain, you get your money back.
Okay, so let's get on to if people have heard your many, many other podcasts, let's get on to your favourite thing in Orlando, I'm guessing, Halloween Horror Nights.
Yes, 100%. It keeps me going all year round.
Yes, we all talk about it. We all seem to talk about it even when it's January and it's not around for months. Yeah. Who cares? It's a new year. What's going on for Halloween Horror Nights?
Yeah, exactly. So the Universal takes between 12 months to prep it. We take 12 months to think about it. That's how it works.
I've got a question. Are you shocked how much it's grown in the last few years, Halloween Horror Nights?
Yes and no. I am not surprised because the popularity of horror is going. That's going up quite quickly over the last 4 or 5 years.
I think a house might help this as well. The last 2 years with Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's definitely made a massive difference. But the overall quality, I think people are actually realizing it's not. Because when first year we went in 2008, we didn't know anything about it. We did the UK thing. I'm doing air quotes here. We're doing the UK first time couples. We went to the holiday rep meeting, which I don't know if you get them anymore in Florida. But we went to the holiday rep meeting in the Festival Bay Mall, if anyone remembers that. And there was someone from Universal just telling you about this is what Universal Studios is what Islands of Adventure is, and we also do this special ticketed event for the evening. And Julie was into a horror a little bit. I was just getting into horror then, really. I weren't a huge horror fan at the time. And it came up at $54 for 4 nights. I went, right, let's give it a go. And went there for the first time and try and go there every single year now.
Yes, I'm going next year as well, but then I'm taking 2 years off of Orlando. I've just got to pay the credit cards and that back, really.
Yeah.
But got to do next year's because it's number 30. We know definitely. They're going to go all out.
Yes, definitely. Next year's the big one. I've been to two ceremony ones now. We went to Halloween Horror Nights 20 and 25, and they seem to be the biggest years I've seen. I would say 25 was busier than last year in my eyes.
Wow. And last year was manic. It was weird, though, because when I was down in September, it was busy. But them really busy days, for some reason, I wasn't going them nights. I just didn't plan to go, and they seemed to be super busy. So I don't know how I was getting so lucky.
I saw it busy because I went for opening weekend, and literally only opening weekend. I did After Dark special and went from Thursday to Monday. And that weekend was absolutely mental. But what I saw online afterwards that weekend, it seemed to be a little bit quieter for the whole run of it. Because I thought 27 was busy. But I think that was down to Bill and Ted ending, to be honest. I think that was the big draw.
Do I upset people here and say I don't see the big fuss about Bill and Ted? It was funny, but I didn't understand why everyone found it like the greatest thing on the planet.
I watched
is it Celebrity Juice?
Yeah.
So that humour's just
that's crap.
One of the meal to me.
It's
just normal humour. So when I see the humour, they probably find it like in America. Oh my god, I can't believe this sexual thing's been said in that. To me, it's like it's just typical British humour. That is,
I think. What I fell in love with Bill and Ted was you're being bombarded at Halloween Horror Nights everywhere. You're in the houses, bombarded with people trying to jump scare you, and you've got all these noises and all these chainsaws going off and people running around and screaming. And as soon as you sit in there for that 35, 40 minutes that it takes for the show to progress, it's just a relief of getting rid of all the getting the laughter out and making you relax and chill. Yeah, it just chills you out a little bit to go again.
Don't get me wrong. If I had a choice, I'd have Bill and Ted back, because I think Academy of Villains is better off in the little stage where people could just walk past.
Yeah.
I felt like, to me, it didn't work on the big stage. Well, so if we can't have Bill and Ted, because the licensing now with the new movie coming out probably cost too much, had they thought of maybe Doc and Marty from Back to the Future?
Yeah, they could do. They did bring what's it called, Rick from Rick and Morty out on the last one. And that guy, it did look pretty good. So we'll see.
You see, you've got them too. The other option as well is bring classic monster shows.
With a bit of
humour in it.
Yeah, there's all sorts you can do, but I'm going to do a confession like you did. I've never seen Academy of Villains. I've only ever seen it on YouTube, and I don't like it. I don't like those troops.
I watched them a few years ago on a little stage, you know, near it's Diner.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it there. You know, it was fun. That's probably because I wasn't just sitting around. If I wanted to leave, I could walk off.
Yeah.
I think last year's show, and I was like literally starting to look at my phone. Nothing against them. Very talented people.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for me. It didn't feel Halloween to me.
No, never does. I walked past it. I didn't even look. I maybe had a bit of a boogie with the music, but never watched them, even when they were on the stage. It's just something that's never interested in me.
I don't think I'll be this year either.
So, but yeah, this year's winding up to be quite a good year if the houses are coming that's supposed to be coming. So.
Yes, the houses. We'll get to that in a minute. Just thought, though, I've got a new show. Directed and wrote by Craig Lucas for Halloween Horror Nights, stage show.
I don't think Universal will be able to get the rights for anything that he comes up with. And I don't whether they can.
I think they might be sued.
You know what? They have a rated R. I think the rating will go twice as high as whatever R is with Craig running it.
It would have to be rated CR, Craig. Yeah.
Craig Ridiculous.
Do love him, though.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Craig. We love you, really. We do.
Just a quick shout out. Anybody, please listen to my bench. Craig's not always silly on there, but when he's in full form, the guy just kills me with laughter.
Yeah, definitely.
So what sort of houses are we looking at this year then, mate?
Well, you've got the ones that have been released. You've got The Depths of Fear, Nightingale's Blood Pit, Universal Monsters.
Can't wait for that one.
Stranger Things, which is the big draw for a lot of people.
That's season two.
Season two and season three.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be combined. And Michael has been tweeting a couple of days ago about he can't wait for to see the season three stuff in the houses. So he's obviously seen a preview of what's coming on Netflix. Yeah. Is it next week?
July 4th.
Yeah.
Never forget that, because it's my mum's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And Independence Day for the moment, my mum's birthday, Stranger Things, and the big surprise we've done for my mum, she thinks we're going 19 nights to Orlando. It's 21. For a birthday and Christmas present, though, we've booked two nights of Art of Animation in a family Lion King suite. Plus, she thought we weren't doing Disney, but we bought her Disney Park tickets as well.
Oh, fantastic. Well, happy birthday to future Phil's mum.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into the speculation maps because we've been into that on the other podcast I was on the other week with the After Dark Halloween Adventure. But it is a house. If it's a house that shall not be named, I'm not going to name it until it does get released. Which, if you go on to Chris Ripley's Facebook page. I think it's been leaked in Hollywood that house is coming. Got retracted quite quickly, I believe.
Dude, that's so scared. What if they're only getting in Hollywood?
I doubt it very much. There's something that big they will not just do at Hollywood.
But so if they ghost this idea, I will not be happy.
Yeah. I can see it being pulled at last minute. I can definitely see it being pulled because Scream was pulled at the last minute as well.
God, don't you wish they would do that now?
I can't understand why they just don't go and do the original Scream. There's four films, isn't there, in the original Scream. It was a trilogy, but they brought another one out, didn't they?
Yeah, do you know online, you know in the Scream films, they were making the movies called Stab based on the film.
Yes,
actually online, you can get their movies now.
Can you? Oh.
Yes. So if they couldn't get the whole right for Scream, wouldn't it be funny if they did a house as a joke as Stab?
Yeah.
Based on the movie.
They could do.
Nice little twist.
Yeah. So, yeah, the houses at the moment are building up to be some really good houses, because I'm more of an originals person.
IPs, I thought so far last year was better for me, but there was things like, you know, Halloween, I love Poltergeist.
Yeah. Poltergeist stepped up the bar for IPs for me. Because I think my first ever IP was The Thing in 2010, I think it was. It was what people keep saying was the sequel to the original Thing with Kurt Russell. If you watch it, it wasn't a prequel. It wasn't a sequel. It was a prequel, and that's where people get the confusion from. But I really enjoyed that one. That was my first ever IP, I think, because when I went in 2008, there was no IPs. It was all originals.
They do that a lot in Japan as well. They're more based on originals, aren't they?
Yeah, because 2008 was
the photos from there. Wow.
Yeah, I've seen some of the makeup photos. I've not seen any of the thingy photos yet.
Seen a few house photos, and I must admit, I might one year just have to go over there to try it, because they really do step up another level as well.
Yeah, well, their horror's quite different to our horror, isn't it? If you look at what's that company called? Tandem? I don't know. Mrs. likes Japanese horror. She prefers the Japanese ones rather than the American UK conversions, like The Ring and Grudge. But she prefers to watch the Japanese ones with subtitles and the UK and US versions. And I think there's a lot of it's based around them kind of things, which they are kind of freaky, some of them. Films.
Yeah, they are a bit more warped than the American ones these days. Mm. The Americans, I think, have got softer and softer through the years, unfortunately.
Yeah, they've got seems to go a bit more gore than anything else.
Yeah,
it's got gore, blood, and guts rather than the actual physical scares. Because great hands up. I don't know if anyone's. I'm a bit behind with some of the horror movies because there's that many have come out, and I like to watch all the other ones. But I watched Us last night, and it was shit. I'm sorry,
Do you know what? I enjoyed the movie until the reveal sort of stuff at the end, and I was just like, ugh. Because he's moved before that in the house with the family who was hypnotising black people into being just law-abiding people. That was brilliant. I can't remember what it was called.
Get Out.
That's it. Oh, wow. That one was out of this world.
I was about an hour and 20 minutes in, and I'm like, What am I watching here? I can't fathom what's going on. It was like I was just watching the screen go by. It wasn't like I weren't enticed into what was going on. The ending was the twist that they always do on some of these films. And to be honest, about 40 minutes in, I realized what the twist was going to be.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
So I didn't really enjoy it that much. And people were saying that could have been a house this year.
I was trying to think that, because pretty much you'd have to have a lot of people just who look the same, dressed differently. That's exactly, what it is to me.
The whole point of that film is you've got a twin. And if I'm sorry, spoilers.
<You're> like, spoilers. It's not a spoiler. It's been out for months. It's not a spoiler anymore.
Yeah, but you can't do a twin for yourself unless you've just got mirrors everywhere. That's the only way it could work.
A lot of people who have a twin, and I can't imagine that being that many.
No. Or you just got people in red boiler suits. So,
yeah.
But it's not scary. No. So, but yeah, the house that shall not be named, it begins with a G and ends in an S. And it has a big green, a little green monster, can we call it, and a big marshmallow person. Likes eating hot dogs, and there's a big marshmallow person.
Yes, so
that's the house. If that house does come to fruition, I think I'm going to explode.
Okay. I've got a question though. What if they based it on the female version?
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with it at all. I actually enjoyed that. I know people slated it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but there was it always felt like you. It was a you could tell it was a different universe.
Yeah, it was. It was obviously set in modern day times. It wasn't set in the '80s like the other one, the other two were. And to be honest, I had a bit of a fanboy crush on Chris Hemsworth, so I started watching all his films that he was in. Because he's not the best actor in the world, but
helps him a lot, and I think for the women something else helps as well, but I can't think what it is.
No, but the when I saw him in Thor Ragnarok, I thought he's got a comedy side, and that's what made me think. Well,
that shows in Men in Black as well.
Yeah, because he's well, I'm yet to see that yet.
Not the greatest, not the worst.
No, but I never watched Ghostbusters. Ah, shit, I just said the word, didn't I? Scrap that. But I never watched
the cartoon show, yeah.
Yeah, I never watched the female version because, obviously, I didn't want to tarnish the other films. But then when I saw him in Thor Ragnarok, I thought, oh, I'll go back and watch that. And I actually quite enjoyed it. So that's my story on The House That Shall Not Be Named, which I've already named.
I think pretty much everyone's named in it, and when it happens, it is not exactly the best secret ever.
No, well, I think we have this every year, don't we? There's, I think it's one at least one house every year that everyone expects to come, and it does come anyway. So, like Stranger Things, everyone knew Stranger Things 2 was coming this year, but as soon as Stranger Things 1 had finished.
Do you know what I miss now? Because now Disney own it, we're not going to have it again, probably, is American Horror Stories.
Yeah, but if they put it under is it Miramax? If they move it onto that part or whatever, if they decide to do films of it, or
at the end of the day, Disney are not going to use it, so why not make money?
I think they will. I think I know a lot of people saying this Fox and Disney merger is going to kill the horror company, but you've got Blumhouse banging out films, you've got the new Chucky films coming out.
I'd say they're going to kill it, people like Blumhouse will probably buy them off of them anyway.
Yeah, well, you've got like Blumhouse trying to reboot the Universal Monsters now, aren't you? So.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got the new Chucky film out, which I believe you've seen as well.
Yep, I actually liked it. It's a clever remake. It's a bit of a spoiler here, people. So disappear for 30 seconds, skip on. Basically, it's not possessed by a person with magic. It's just basically an AI robot, what's been made. And it goes nuts.
Yeah, so it's a bit like Chucky 3, isn't it? Chucky 3 is here. Chucky 3 goes. It's an AI. It's not. Obviously, his spirit's still inside him, but it's more about the robotics of that.
Yeah, I say there's no spirit. It's just pretty much a robot, this one. There's no body. It's just a psychotic, a baby Terminator.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. I'll have to go and watch that one.
I'll watch it at 11 p.m. at night. God.
Well, I'm just a bit annoyed about this. There's not many showings of it.
Yes, that's why I've watched three movies in one day. Toy Story.
Yeah, I'm watching Toy Story on Wednesday. I'm a cheapskate. I'll use a 2-for-1 offer for make-up movies.
I'm a Cineworld pass holder, so I got to watch all three movies for basically nothing.
Yeah, I used to have a cine pass, but I got rid of it years ago because I just didn't have the time to watch as many movies as I wanted to. So,
So have we got any? So we don't want to talk park tickets, because if they want to hear you talking about park tickets, you're on the After Dark Network, many different podcasts explaining them.
Yes.
But we talk about tips you would do, like while you're there in the park for Halloween Horror Nights, to help people out.
Yeah. The main tip is do your research and do your planning. The biggest tip I've got is if you can't get an express pass because you don't want to pay for it and you've got a day ticket, definitely do stay in screen. You're going to have to do stay in screen to at least give you a good chance of getting everything done.
Just to let people know, though, to do stay in screen, you have to have a day park ticket for Universal Studios. Yes. Not Islands of Adventure, but Universal Studios, you have to have a day ticket.
Yes, definitely. And if my personal thing with Stranger Things being at the front of the park, if you're going to do it, go to the Simpsons area if you can. And I would hit them houses first around that area and do a big loop round the park. Go anti-clockwise, as they say.
Yep.
Because This is a little tip that people seem to forget about. When there's usually two houses round where ET is. You've got one in your right and one in your left.
Well, yeah, one in Barney.
Yeah, one in Barney and one in... Or sometimes you might have two in Barney and one towards ET.
Yeah.
Always go to the right-hand side first. Because if you go to the ones on the left, they'll bring you out round the other side of Simpsons area towards Men in Black. And you'll have to loop back all the way back round. So always go right, then left. So right towards ET, do that house, come back out. It brings you back out to where you've just gone in. And then loop into that one, which will bring you out to, should bring you out to where Men in Black is. Then you've got two more houses round there, which loop back round and so forth. We'll know more when the map comes out. And I can give you a bit more tips nearer to the time for when we know where all the houses will be set. But that I would go anti-clockwise. Because everyone will be going to Stranger Things first. They always do. Yeah. They did it last year. If the house that shall not be named is going to be in that area as well, that's going to be, it's just going to be rammed for the first two, three hours.
Be near where the Rip Rocket ride is. What was it last year? Was it Poltergeist there?
No, Poltergeist was round the back towards the back end of New York, towards at the back end of Rip Ride Rocket where the VIP center is.
I'm just wondering that's where they're going to put Ghostbusters because obviously you can make the wrong lines there.
I think you should just use Jimmy Fallon for that one.
Jimmy Fallon.
I know.
So much space used just to look at stuff.
I know. Well, that was... I used to enjoy Twister.
Yes, it's one of my little cult favourites.
I enjoyed the film.
I always thought they should have put Sharknado in there instead.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been fun.
So, any more tips for people?
No, just drink. Obviously, you're going in the middle of September, October. It's going to be hot and humid. Drink plenty of water. I know there's alcohol available, which up to now we know there's alcohol available. But drink plenty of water.
Talking about alcohol, people as well. Doesn't matter how old you are, if you don't have ID on you, they will not give you any alcohol at Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, and on the ID thing. I am hearing rumours they're not accepting the British driving licence this year or for the last few years. I've always used it.
They did last year.
I've always used it. But I do believe some people have been refused. I think it's mainly because it's the provisional licence that they might be using.
Yeah, that's
the green one.
Probably, yeah, I think that's probably the one being said.
Because they are used to the UK pink one. But if you turn up with a blue, when you turn up with a green one, So I know it's not the best advice, but if you don't want to take your passport, take a photocopy and take a picture of it on your phone, and they usually, I'd say 99% of the time, will accept that as a form of ID.
Yeah, and if you can't, tough, just have a night without drinking.
Yes, obviously. But just drink plenty of water and just enjoy yourselves. If you're going to go, don't go with the massive high expectations of everything's going to be awesome, because not everything is awesome in the world. Spoiler for everyone. Not everything in the world is the best. There is low points, but just go and enjoy yourselves. You know what I mean? Just go out there, have a laugh with your mates. Go get yourself scared out of your mind. Laugh it off. That's what I do. And
take a little packet from somewhere like Walmart poncho, because if it rains, you don't want to leave the lines, but you don't want to get soaked. Just put the poncho on and enjoy it.
Yeah, because when it rains, it does rain.
So, mate, that's been brilliant, all your help today. Got any shout-outs for, your Facebooks, Instagrams, social medias, all together, emails?
Yeah, I've just got a Facebook page, Simon Says Pod Now. I always say it weird, but it's Simon Says Podcast Now, because that's my Facebook page. You can find me on Twitter, @ Simon Pod. I've got a podcast on the After That Podcast Network called Simon Says Podcast. It's my journey through life, really. It's me not kind of documenting everything that's happening every week. So if you want to follow me on my weekly adventures, and that's over on the After That Podcast Network. I have got another Twitter account if you want to follow me personally. It's Simon and Julie. It's a joint one with me and my partner. And yeah, that's really it. And anything else on the After That Podcast Network, come over and join us.
Listen to all the podcasts. I do have a quick shout. I have every podcast now where every podcast on the network's been shouted out, so everyone knows what it is to listen to.
Yeah.
So, mate, thanks for this all, and can't wait to meet you in September for the first time in Orlando. Might
definitely do
a little recording or two out there with you.
Definitely.
Talking about experiences while we're there, like, might make mini side podcasts while I'm out there.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Okay, mate. So pretty much, as I said, see you in September, and thank you for being on again.
No worries. Cheers, buddy. See you soon.
It's finally that time. It's time for your question. Oh, hang on. Someone's calling me now on the Anchor app to ask me a question. So let's get to this person. Hello, caller. What's your name and what's your question? Well, sorry, people. They kept on breaking up, so I couldn't get their question. Hopefully, we'll get them back on soon and they can ask their question and I can answer it. So if you're listening, please get back to me and I will answer your question.
Podcast shout-outs.
Okay, so this is Dick Spring, Chief Executive of the After Dark Podcast Network. You are going to listen to The Customer Is Always Weird, Discover DLP, Biff Baff Buff, Universal After Dark, Diz After Dark, Magical Kingdom of Walt, Time Limit Draw, 6 Year Seniors, Pop After Dark, Two Tribes, A Liverpool Podcast, After Dark Halloween Adventure, Half and Half Scarves, Better Call Paul. Simon Says, SSDD, Breaking Bollocks, what the fuck? Everybody's got one. Morlando, the Orlando Addict, whoever that prick is. And that Kevin Smith Viewerskew Review. Don't forget my bench too, it's a shitty little effort, but there you go. I hope that fulfills my contractual obligations.
So here's a podcast shout out for me, one of my favourites I listen to. It's just finished. It's about six, maybe a few more episodes. It's called Earthbreak. It's like an ebook story. Basically, 5 weeks after aliens attacked, after the virus spread, humanity has been all but eradicated. One survivor, Lynn, searches for supplies with no one to talk to but her mother's old voice recorder. Though she works hard to remain optimistic, Lynn can't deny the symptoms of the alien virus are setting in. It's a great little story to listen to, guys. I really enjoy them and I think you'd enjoy it too. They're about 20 minutes long. The series has been completed of it. So, yeah, give it a go. And if you like it, get back to me and tell me what you thought of it. So, I can't remember if I've told people before. I am going with a few family members September to Orlando this year. 21 nights. We've done a little surprise for my mum's birthday. She's going to find out on July the 4th. She thinks we're only going 19 nights. We're going 21. Reason is for her birthday present. We're actually paid for a Lion King family suite at Disney's Art of Animation. She stayed there a couple of times. She loves this hotel. So we're starting off there. We're obviously going to do the Magical Express from the MCO airport. and we're just going to chill at the hotel. Also, me and my brother, we're going to take advantage of the early park times so we can go and have a look around Star Wars. Hopefully that is in the early park times, because if they don't put that in there, Disney are the biggest fucking morons going. So yeah, plus the other thing we've done, the 19 nights, we are moving over to Universal's new resort, Endless Summer Resort, Surfside Inn. We've got two rooms there. We've got a standard room and we've got a two bedroom family suite. So we're going to find out a lot about this new cheap hotel. It's just on iDrive. I stay on iDrive quite a lot. So to me, this is perfect. A Universal hotel, cheap as chips on iDrive. So I get all the food restaurants and the pubs on iDrive. Free shuttle up to Universal will take about 5-6 minutes at the most. Walking, it's about 10 minutes. So it's not a problem. So, yep, that's it. Now, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to tell you how to get into Disney World for free. This is a gem, so don't miss out on this deal. So what you basically do is... So yeah, they've never stopped me once yet. I promise you, it works. I'm never going to share this again because it's too over the top risky and I don't want to be caught for it. So now you've got that idea how to get into the Walt Disney World's parks for free. Keep it. As I said, I'm not going to repeat myself about this. So don't ask me to repeat it because I'm never going to repeat it again. You're just going to have to listen to this podcast again and again to get it. So that's all it.
It's the Florida News Time.
So, Denny, thank you for taking over the news. You got any crazy news for me or just any important news going on in Orlando right now or Florida?
Hey, what's up? Denny here from Miami with the crazy South Florida news of the week. And, actually, it's not, we don't have really crazy stories this week for once. It's about time, but we do have some really not so good stories. We have wildfires here in the Everglades. They've been burning for the past 2 or 3 days, and yeah, it's really bad. I don't know how many acres of land have already burned. And they still haven't put the fire off yet. So hopefully the rains and the firefighters will keep those fires away from the city, because they're like really close to where I live. But we'll see what happens.
So, Danny, mate, do you have any sports news you could share with us? Any news? I've heard a few rumors about, let's say, the new Miami soccer team. In Miami, obviously, Phil. Duh. So, yeah, any news on that? Any players you might think of signing for the team?
On the news, from one of the sites that I follow, reportedly, we might be getting David Silva from Manchester City. He stated in the past that he wants to play in MLS, and that the team that apparently now has the more chances of him playing, it's Miami, because he wants to play in Miami. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, if we do get him, he'll be a great player for our team. If not, then we'll just continue searching. We also have other players that we're looking at, especially two Argentinian players. They're like 18, 19 top players from Argentina that a lot of teams in Europe, they want them to come over. But we're very close to signing at least one of them. and we'll see what happens. He's an up-and-coming player, really young. He played in the Argentinian youth teams, and he's one of the top players in Argentina right now, and he's only 19. So if we get him, we'll be very lucky. So that's something to look forward to once we do get the MLS team. And yeah, everybody's excited down here for that.
So, mate, moving on from football, soccer, have you got any like NBA news, any other sports you'd like to talk about?
As far as the NBA, Miami Heat is signing players. They just signed this pretty good player from the NBA draft. So we are rebuilding our team again. We haven't had any good seasons for the past 2 years, but we knew that was going to happen after LeBron left and Chris Bosh got injured. Well, he had to pretty much stop playing basketball because of his liver problem. And then Dwayne Wade, he left the team, then he came back, and then he retired this past season. So we're pretty much rebuilding our team once again. And it's going to take some time. I'll say 2 or 3 years, and we'll be back on top again to be one of the best teams in the NBA, or at least the Eastern Conference. And yeah, we'll just keep on waiting to see. And that pretty much does it for me with the news and the sports. So I'll keep you guys informed next week, and I'll see you guys around later.
Well, thank you, Denny, for the Florida news there. Hopefully the bushfires will be stopped as soon as possible, because we don't want any trouble with that. Miami's soccer team sounds exciting. We can see why Beckham's really excited about it himself. And hopefully we'll hear some news from you in the next fortnight. This is Phil from the Florida News, and Denny, signing out. Okay, I feel evil about the tip about getting into Disney. So just a silly little tip. Some of you will probably know this. When you're feeling hot and you need a drink of water, bottles of water in there can be heavy to carry all day, or you know, they can be quite expensive to buy in the park. But if you go up to most vendors and just ask for a cup of water, they give it to you for free. So that's a nice little tip for you. Saying that, if anybody's got any tips as well, you know, for the theme parks in Orlando, send them to me on baldphil@gmail.com. That's baldphil@gmail.com. Or if you've got the Anchor app, send a voice clip to me and I'll put it on the next episodes. Hi all, so a bit of random chat here is Friday the 21st of June, I'm off to Cineworld Crawley to watch 3 movies in one day. I am a unlimited card holder. The card does cost me about £18.20 a month, I believe. And each movie would normally cost between £11 or £12. Now, I'm only doing 2D movies because if you do ScreenX, 4DX or IMAX, it does cost you extra on top of the card you pay a monthly. But as I said, I'm watching all 3 movies in 2D, so I'm making a pretty good savings on this. The first movie I'm going to go and watch is Toy Story 4. This is the last one Woody and Buzz is meant to be in, so I can see it being a bit upsetting in parts. But it's about time to end the chapter of them too. I'm looking forward to it. It's a Disney movie, so I'm sure it hasn't been panned by any experts, but I'll get to that in a minute. Then later on in the evening, well, night time at 9:10, I'm going to go and watch Brightburn. That's a movie about the little baby from outer space crashing on Earth like Superman. A family takes him in. Except when he gets older, this kid's a psychotic little prick and realises he can hurt people, can kill people and torture them. It's a James Gunn movie, so I can imagine it's going to be fantastic. Then A Glutton for Punishment, me. 11 p.m. at night, straight after Brightburn, I'm going to go and watch the remake of Child's Play from the original of 1988. The story of the mother who gave her child a toy, and the toy gets possessed by some evil man, and the evil man goes on a killing spree. I can't see this being as good as the original, but I mean, given everything to enjoy it, I haven't watched any trailers on it, so all the good parts won't be spoiled for me, hopefully. I will get back to you once I've seen all three movies, probably on the Saturday, and give my score out of 10 for all three of them. I tend to not listen to critics anymore, because if it's not Disney or Marvel right now, they seem to pan movies, and I'm quite sick of them thinking everything has to be the Disney and Marvel way. I enjoy movies just to sit back and relax and get me out of my real world life. It doesn't have to be a masterpiece. It just needs to be something that can fill up a bit of time in my life. So as I said, let me go and watch all three of them and I'll get back to you. Right, oh, I said I'd get into the movies. So we'll start with Toy Story 4. I thought it was a good movie. Not great. A lot of people will love it because they like the simple formula of Toy Stories. What is toy goes missing, Woody goes to save the toy. Seen it too many times for me, too predictable. Great family movie. I think the way it ended is a great way to end them all together. But if they didn't want to end them all together, my idea for Toy Story 5 would be the little girl's grown up. She's not giving the toys away. They've been thrown out. Maybe all at the dump. And they all go on a mission to find a new home or somewhere to live differently. What would be a bit more fun and different, and see how they go with the characters. Good movie, as I say, enjoyed it. Didn't find it really funny. Found the ending emotional because you could feel it from number one. Number one will always be the best one for me. I would give Toy Story 4, for me, 7 out of 10. So later on the day at night, I went to go and see Brightburn. I love this movie. I would tell any adult to go and see this. So the movie's about a meteor was actually a pod holding a young child. Same formula as Superman. Child find out he's got superpowers. But there's a dark twist to it. As I said, the child is a psychotic nutcase who really realizes how powerful he is. And with teenage hormones, God, Phil, can't I get words out sometimes? He's out of control. No one can stop him. He's on a killing spree, the little shit. And it's quite scary to think, you know, it'll never happen in real life because there's never going to be such sort of powers like that. But in the comic book universe, if Superman was bad, there is no physical way to stop him. You know, no one could stop him. His mother may have figured it out, but even she couldn't stop him, and that's it. I will tell you all, there's some very gruesome, great parts in this movie. And I would go and see it just to see what a Superman movie would be like if he was a psychotic nutter. I give this a 9 out of 10. I recommend it. There was a little hint at the end, maybe there's more baddies what came down with him to take over the Earth. I'm not sure if they'll make a number two. I don't think we really need a number two. I would leave it as it is, unless they're going to do it with the different characters and then lead up to all the characters together. But as I said, 9 out of 10 for Brightburn. Then, being a nutcase, straight after Brightburn at 11 p.m. at night, I went to watch the remake of Child's Play. Finding out Chucky's not so much a toy, he's a AI robot what controls everything in your house, and he learns and becomes, it was meant to be the child's best friend. This one unfortunately has been set up to be nuts. I won't tell you why you see that in the movie, but as it learns to be more nuts. It's trying to help the boy Andy out, but it's psychotic and it's getting jealous and more jealous. The killing in this is brilliant again. Pretty much some like Saw sort of scenes, how he kills people. I loved it for a remake. It was a good remake for to be Child's Play, Chucky, but not the same movie, as in it's not a possessed doll by a human with doing a magic spell. It's just computer electronics and all that stuff, and because it's an AI learning, it learns how to be more evil and more destructive and dangerous. I really enjoyed it. And I think this is actually make a great scare house at Mays Inn Halloween Horror Nights 30 if they don't have it in 29 at the last minute. I would tell anybody go and watch this. I think it's brilliant, actually. I think it's a clever way to remake a classic horror movie, have the same sort of storyline, but change it up enough to make it feel fresh. I also give this a 9 out of 10. Problem is, I don't think many people will go and see it because their love for the first one. But if you just get past the originals, you will love this new way of doing Chucky. Mark Hamill, he's brilliant as a voice, but I think he's a great voice character anyway. He does the Joker in DC Universe as well, I believe. Yeah, 9 out of 10. So all three movies enjoyed. Brightburn was my favourite, followed by Child's Play, then Toy Story 4. The next movie I'm off to go and see will be Spider-Man. So I will talk about that one in the future. But yeah, for movie-wise, three great movies in one day. Definitely worth the day taking forever for me to watch. Would love to see a Child's Play 2, maybe. If you'd like to follow me, I'm on Instagram, Orlando Addict. Also on Twitter, at Addict Orlando. YouTube is Bald Phil PDG CFC 79 videos. Facebook page, Orlando Addict. And obviously, if you'd like to ask me any questions, you can get hold of me either on the Anchor app or you can email me on baldphil@gmail.com. That's baldphill@gmail.com. Bald Phil out.
Son of a whore!
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.